Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire, presented by Finished MMA and the United Way Merced.
Your boy Sloan Bone of the Mo Thugs Movement, part of the Bone Thugs and Harmony family tree, the 86ers brand ambassador. Check it out though, listen. In a world full of followers, be proud to be different. Be an 86er. So what I need y'all to do is go to the 86ers.net. We got the dopest apparel, men and women. Everything you need for a fresh start. I'm talking tees, zip-ups, tanks, hoodies, and the best hats at a price nobody can match. I'ma ask you this though. What do your clothes say about you? If you don't know, come to the 86ers.net and find yourself out. And a special shout out to Don McGuire, the host of The Fighter's Voice. Salute, big homie.
And welcome to The Fighter's Voice. I'm your host, Don McGuire. You know, we got a hell of a show for you tonight. This young man is truly defining what it is to be a warrior in the sport. You know, when I posted that on a pre-post that I was going to have him on the show, to my surprise, a lot of the inner workings that I've worked with for years speak about the humility, the integrity of this young man. So it's truly an honor for me to have him on the show and for my listeners to hear his story and what he's truly about. With that being said, let's welcome the Motown man, Moses Marietta. Moses, how's it going?
It's going good, Don. How you doing?
Oh, man, just kind of living the dream in the freezing Midwest. You're getting a little taste of that today, being on the East Coast. You know, it's a little different from California. How's the weather for you?
It's a little different. I'm actually outside right now. It's kind of frigid, you know. The air is sharp right now, but it's not bad.
Not bad. You know, you're coming off a win in Legacy Fighting Alliance. You know, the sport is starting to buzz about you, my man. You know, a lot of the people that look at fighters and they know they're going to be the next part, the next step of the sport, your name is one that's at the top of the list. As a young warrior in this game, how does it make you feel knowing, Moses, that the sport is recognizing you? Out of hundreds of thousands of fighters across the country, you're getting the recognition that you truly have earned.
It's more fuel to the fire. I mean, it's really motivating. I fought in July this year, and I had good exposure from the fight, fighting on a great show like LFA. And it was televised on AXS television, and it was just a good opportunity, and it gave me a lot of exposure, and it was really motivating to get more prepared for my next fight. I was really excited about it, and I wanted to display more skills that I've learned, and it all worked out well in November, and luckily I got the knockout. So yeah, it's real motivating for me. I'm happy to
most definitely
really do it.
That was against Cydia Parker, you know, who happens to have almost three times the amount of fights that you have, you know, as a pro. So that was quite a feather in your hat. That was the true stepping stone that I believe that you really needed. You know, what were your greatest takeaways from that moment, now knowing that you pretty much have cemented your name pretty much into going into the UFC? What are your thoughts, you know, as you know, because you know the UFC is going to be coming, you know they're going to be calling you, because what you're doing in the sport is tremendous. None of the fighters, none of your opponents, you can look at your record. And listeners, if you don't believe me, go look at his record. He's never fought a slouch. He's always fought somebody with a comparative record, if not a better record than himself. So what does it mean for a young fighter like you, knowing that people are saying the UFC is going to come calling you, Moses?
I expect the UFC to be knocking on the door very soon, and I'm prepared to step in their cage, and I will be ready. I look forward to it, but until I get that call, then I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing.
Oh, yeah. Most definitely creating devastation. You know, I kind of want to ask you about your M1 days. You know, M1's a tremendous organization, but, yes. You know, some certain aspects perplex that truly kind of broke your heart. You know, when you look at that aspect of M1, what is it that you would like to have, you know, reflected or fixed in that promotion?
I didn't have a terrible experience with M1. I fought for them once in Russia, and I had a great time. Then I fought for them the second time in Finland, and I lost. It wasn't M1's fault, but I had my bags. They didn't arrive to the airport until the day after my fight. For some reason, I was there for the whole week without my luggage. But as far as the promotion and how they run everything and how they take care of their fighters, and I had a good experience. I have nothing negative to say about them.
It was misquoted. So, you know, I'm transparent, so I'll take that back. It was misquoted in an article. And I don't generally read up articles, but there's so much about you, Moses. You know, what is it about Dave Thomas and TNT management that you've seen in him enough to sign with him and trust him with your career path?
Yeah, well, Dave Thomas, he's a great dude. I like his energy. He's real passionate about what he does. He's great at what he does. I like the fact that everything I need, he takes care of. And then he's also motivated. You know, he's always calling up on me and making sure I'm training, making sure I'm not being a knucklehead and whatnot. I've had a great experience with Dave for the last, I've been with him for, I believe, 4 years, maybe going on 5 years, and it's all been good. So I look forward to continuing business with Dave. So.
Well, it seems like everybody that you run into falls in love with you. There's, you know, bite me mouth guards with Joe Rice. You know, that's a certain aspect of your life that is almost family-like. What does it mean for a fighter in the sport? Because a lot of people don't realize this, but what does it mean for a fighter in the sport to not only have those types of sponsors, but have relationships with them that mean something to you in life?
Well, so some of these sponsors, they play a big part in the career of fighting. Joe Rice, he actually, I was living in a gym for 2 years, and it was a really, really bad situation. Well, not like a poor living situation. I was fine, but it wasn't, you know, I didn't have a bed. I was sleeping on the mat, and, you know, the night critters would come crawling around, waking up at night. And Joe, you know, I'm good friends with Joe, one of my sponsors, Buy Me Mouthpieces. He had his shop set up in the back, and he invited me to sleep out there for my nights. Well, his shop was closed, and I'd do that, and then wake up and train, and then hang out in his shop. It was great. It helped out a lot. So yeah, the sponsors like that, they really help out in supporting the fighters.
Yeah. You know, this sport is a tremendous aspect to one's life, but it also, it's a hard sport to be in. You know, some will say the sport can chew you up and spit you out. What led you, Moses, to want to transition who you were as a young man to becoming a fighter?
I would have to say probably to fight fear, just fear of any type of fears that I had, the fears that you face. You know, living life. I was all through grade school. I never got in a street fight. I was actually bullied a lot through grade school. I would get picked on, slapped, punched, jumped, I'd get beat up pretty badly, and I would never defend myself. I would just kind of, you know, just be a wuss, you could say. And I never believed I could defend myself. So one day, this bully was trying to funk me in front of the whole football team. And, you know, I had enough. I finally fought back, and I ended up beating the guy up pretty badly. So at that moment, I was like, oh, shit, I could have been defending myself this whole time. I never knew I could have did that. So it was kind of like a groundbreaking moment for me. Like, it was a big fear to get over standing up for myself. And so I just continued with it. I found a gym. I started training with my coach, Brady Fink, and he taught me how to fight and how to keep my composure in there and just build up my will. But I fight mostly just to keep living, really.
Yeah. You know, it amazes me. I have been doing journalism for 15 years. I've had a show for that long, and you know, you kind of reminded me of Kung Lee there for a minute, you know, and he came from a really, you know, jacked up life. I'm not saying you did, but what he did was he came from the fall of Saigon, and they came to the United States, and he was bullied as a young man, but yet he kept humble. He didn't fight back. He took the aspect that you did. You know, who was it in the early days that inspired you, Moses? Who gave you the belief to maintain your integrity, your honor, your humility? Who was that one figure in your life that truly helped you move forward in all aspects?
I would have to say my mother. She always would teach me how to treat everyone like equally and talk to everyone, show a lot of respect to everybody, and how to be humble and not let the ego get the best of you. And so I'd have to give it up to my mom. She taught me a lot of that, and then probably all the ass kickings I received taught me humbleness too. So it's a nice balance right now that I have.
Yeah, you know, when we grew up, man, you got hit by whatever your mother could get their hands on. I don't care if it was a pelote or vacuum cleaner cord, coat hanger. It was, you know, these kids nowadays, bro, they have no idea. You know, that's why I think I appreciate you so much, Moses, is because you're a breath of fresh air for the sport. You know, a lot of us, when that entertainment aspect started to come in with Conor McGregor and Colby Covington and a lot of aspects, we had two choices, to stay and deal with it or to walk away from the sport, and I chose to deal with it. And then I started noticing a trend of young fighters like yourself, and it kind of reinstilled my faith in the sport because warriors like you are humble. You know, what does the sport, when you sit back, Moses, and you look at the path that you've walked, what does the sport truly mean to you, not just as a warrior, but as a young man, as you've grown up in the sport?
It's definitely a proving ground. It's a character builder. I don't know. I think we're all here on this planet, and we're trying to figure out this thing called life, or we're just trying to get through it or whatever. And fighting is kind of like you're on like the fast track to, I would say, hacking your mind, you know, and your life or whatever. And it's just a real big learning experience. And you learn about yourself. You feel the thoughts and feelings that go through you, and you have to deal with them head on. So fighting is, it's really something. But I love it. So
Now, you kind of mentioned your relationship with Brady Fink. You know, Brady Fink has been a stable part of your life for quite a while. You know, sometimes we don't really realize the aspects that have been provided for us in life. How much of an aspect has defined you, Moses, through Brady Fink?
Brady, I remember when I was a kid, a teenager, I'd started training at my first gym, and I met Brady, and I was like, I want to be like that guy. He's fucking cool. He says whatever he wants. He stands up for what he believes in, and he's a funny guy, great guy, and he taught me how to fight. He taught me how to be tough, He's been a great mentor in my life. He's helped me out when I needed help. Sometimes when I didn't even have to, I didn't even ask for help. He'd help me out. And Brady, he's been a good mentor in my life. And I look at him like family, and I really appreciate everything he's done for me.
You know, I look at your record and I got to say, my friend, it's impeccable. You know, we have certain aspects in life that we grow from. And you talk about Brady, you talk about Joe, you talk about Dave Thomas. You know, one of these days, and I could say this with you because you're truly talented, you know, we all have, like, idols that we watch in the sport. How does it feel knowing now that those idols may become your rivals very soon? You may be stepping up on that platform and facing those fighters that you truly fell in love with the sport because of.
It doesn't. I welcome it. I think it's great. I'm ready to step up to that. I know there's different levels in the sport, and I know you have to climb up these levels. You know, when the time comes, I know if you jump the levels, then bad things happen. So, you know, I have good patience, and I have trust in the process now. But when the time comes, I'll be ready.
Yes, you know, I truly think you will. You know, what is you fought in so many promotions, but LFA has been a proving ground for you. What does it mean for a young fighter like yourself to have the backing of such a tremendous promotion and Legacy Fighting Alliance?
It's great. I think it's great. They're a great show, and they support me, and they're all about it. And to be honest, I feel like I put in the work to deserve it. So I'm all accepting of it, and it's all good, positive thoughts and feelings about it. So I think I just keep inviting it. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah, most definitely. I'm just trying to figure out who has the worst hair: Pat Miletich, Joe Rice, or the Motown Man himself. You know. Oh, that's bad. I shouldn't have said that. You know, I love giving Joe crap because he'd be sporting that fro, man. The only white boy I know that sports a fro. But he's good people. And he's just,
I might grow mine back someday. I used to rock the fro too, man.
Yeah. You know, he's a good guy. Yeah,
Joe's a good guy, yeah.
He sponsors the show. You know, there's a lot about life that we live and learn. And you know, you talked about bullying. You talked about how much your mother has truly instilled a lot of great value in you. You know, sometimes we get a reflection of ourselves, Moses. And, you know, it may be walking by a mirror. It could be walking by a puddle. But when you do get that opportunity and you look down in the mirror of the puddle and you get that one brief moment of a reflection of where you're at now and where you started, or just the man himself, who does Moses Marietta see?
I see someone that's there right now, staring in the reflection, and then I might be gone tomorrow, or if not tomorrow, then, you know, somewhere along the line, you know. So just, you know, just dust in the wind. So that, you know, I just got to keep going. I got to keep doing what I'm doing, and I got to keep fighting what I'm fighting for.
I like that. You know, you have a huge opportunity. You know, you just came off a tremendous win. The sport's talking about you. A lot of people are saying that the next step for you is the top promotion in the industry. But yet you remain so humble and chill and calm about it, and you have that rapport that, you know, you're just going to take it day by day. Was that the aspect that you learned from the sport, or is it an aspect that you brought to the sport as you grew?
I think I brought it to the sport, but if it's developed more, I've learned how to control everything that you know, your thoughts, control your emotions, control your composure. I just got in a better handling of it all. And just, I would say I developed it more through the sport.
You know, we have a couple callers on the air. I'm going to answer one call and we'll see who it is. Do you mind?
I don't mind.
Right. You're on the Fighter's Voice with Moses Murrieta and Don McGuire.
How you doing, gentlemen? I just had a quick question. I've heard this question asked to many people many times, and I guess I just want to ask, like, what drives you? What makes you get up and say that this is what I want to do and this is my career choice?
It was a decision I made years ago, and for me it's kind of like it's a silly analogy, but it's like being in the gang. Like you join a gang, you don't want to be like a henchman or like a runt, like, you know, doing the small work. You want to be at the top. So right, I made that decision a long time ago to join the fight game, and I don't want to be a journeyman. I want to be the best that I could. I don't even know if I believe in like the greatest, like that number one greatest. But I think anyone could be beat at any moment. But bottom line, I just want to be the best me, and that drives me.
Right on, man. I'm glad you said the best of you, because that's what I was thinking. If you can't beat the best out there, as long as you're the best you, and you know that you've put everything you have into it, and you know that you've put every bit of training that you could possibly foresee that you might for that fight, no matter what the outcome, you know that you stood there. And many people get on Facebook, Instagram, whatever, and they talk a big game, and they even shit on fighters, especially once they're retired, and it's actually sickening to me. But I just want to say, I don't know if anybody's told you this, but hey, man, dude, like, it's great you're stepping out there and doing it, man. Give it your best, dude. Kill it.
I will. Cool. Thank you.
You're welcome,
appreciate
man.
I appreciate that, man. Thank you so much for calling.
I appreciate the call.
Thank you.
Man, that was pretty dope.
Yeah,
you know,
that was cool.
Yeah, it's nice to have, you know, people call in and give you kind of their thought. You know, taking off of kind of what he said, you know, you may not end up being the best of the best in this sport, but from, you know, speaking with you thus far and learning a little bit about you, you know, you're not going to stop until you get where you want to be. Would you say that's a fair assessment in the life of Moses Murrieta?
Yes, I think so.
You know, it's, you know, I'm just stymied, bro. I'll be honest with you, because so many tremendous people in this industry love and support you already. The future is tremendously bright. I'm not trying to blow your head up. I'm not trying to, because I don't get fanboyed, but you know what? I'll tell you what, you're a young fighter that truly has earned the respect of many in this sport. And that comes from hard work and determination. What is, when you sit back and you think about everything and how many people reach out to you and how your fan base is growing. How do you maintain the aspect of the pride, the passion, and the perseverance? How do you maintain that attribute to stay, keep that fire lit in your heart?
Even though it's like been mostly this year that I've been getting this type of exposure, I don't believe my own hype. I see the greats, and I know how much space is between me and them, and I know how much work I have to put in to get to that level. So that just thinking about that alone is humbling. I had another thought in my mind. I can't think of it though. it went away.
It's the thought of growing the fro, Brad. Oh, I love it, man. You killed me. When we talked the other day, you killed me on that, bro, because, you know, I even told Joe last night on the phone, get a haircut, bro. I told him to get a crew cut, and he told me to F off. I was like, I was dying, man. And then, I spoke to Dave this morning, and he gave me a call, and I told him you were going to be on the East Coast. He's like, wait a minute. He said, do we got the same fighter? And it was like, it's funny how small this world is, because real recognizes real, and the real of the sport has recognized you, Moses. You know, and all I can say is from being in the sport for 23 years is, you know, you're going to grow, and you're going to find situations that truly define you because you're young still. You know, this is truly the second chapter after this last fight, the starting of the second chapter for Moses Marietta, because the future is truly bright. I mean, you just didn't go out there and, you know, beat somebody of equal caliber as you. You went out there and you beat a tremendous warrior. You know, so I think it's only fair that we call it the second chapter of Moses Marietta. What would you like that first statement in the second chapter of Moses Marietta to say?
I don't really, to be honest, understand the question. Like, what would I say about myself?
Yeah, well, okay, this is the beginning. You know, after this last fight, you beat a tremendous warrior in the sport.
Yeah.
And the world is truly recognizing you. So let's just call this the rebirth, the second chapter. And you're in the new chapter, and you have to write down a statement of what your thoughts, wants, or needs are moving forward. What would that statement mean?
I don't know. I can't call it, to be honest.
I don't know yet. Remind me of Charles Rodriguez, man. I asked him, he was getting ready to fight in glory. I said, what's it going to mean to you to fight in glory? He goes, I don't know, bro. I haven't been there yet. And I was like, I don't know if you know
That's
Rock,
a good
Charles
answer.
Rockstar Rodriguez. Yeah, it was a good answer.
I wish I was that cool, man.
No, you are that cool, man. You just, I love it. You know, talking about cool, we'll kind of change the subject a little bit. You know, They call you Motown. Where did that come from? Because it so relates to you, bro.
I love Motown. My coach and some of my teammates gave me the name back in the early days of training. And one, because it's when I walk into that cage, it's my town. I own it, Motown. And then two, also, I love Motown. I love the music. I grew up listening to that. So that's where it originates from.
I like that. When you walk into the cage, you own it. Honestly, that's the first time I've ever heard a fighter say that in my 15-year career. That's so dope, bro. I love that, man. Talking about being on points. I walk in that cage, I own it. But you also made a statement earlier that is so true. I don't believe in records, okay? And a lot of people give me grief about this, but I don't believe in records because of a thought that you said. When the cage door closes, it's truly anybody's fight, irregardless of their record. You know, and that's what a lot of people don't realize. You could be the greatest fighter in the world. You could be 29-0 and walk in there against a guy that's 2-15 and get your ass handed to you.
Yep.
How do you prepare yourself for each and every fight, each and every walkout, and how do you not let that get in the way of once the cage door closes?
I mean, when I have an opponent, I watch video and I see their habits, and I think I have like a tactical take on it for myself. And I train hard in the areas where he's strong, and I train hard in the areas where I'm weak. And I just train hard, put in the work, make sure I'm training every day, and a lot of like, to be honest, a lot of visualization, and put myself there thousands of times before the fight, so it makes things a little more smoothly the day of the fight. But that's pretty much it. Just hard work, a little bit of studying, and a little bit of visualization.
It truly is. Well, man, you've had a tremendous run. You know, the holidays are upon us, and it's time to correlate with family. What does this downtime mean for you to be able to get that much-needed time with family and to be able to step away from the sport for just a moment?
It's a good feeling. I fought last month, so I got a little extra money in my wallet, so all my loved ones are getting Christmas gifts. So it's gonna be a good Christmas. I'm still training, and I'm gonna enjoy the holidays, and then I'm gonna refocus come the new year, and take another win in February.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. I can't wait to have you back on the show and talk about that. You know, it's tremendous when you can hear a fighter say that, you know, I got a little bit of money in my pocket and I'm going to make sure everybody has a great Christmas. You know, it speaks profoundly about who you are, Moses. And it's one of the reasons why I reached out to get you on the show, because, man, you're a tremendous young dude in your walk and the future is bright, and you don't get an opportunity to have people like you on the show very often. Usually I run four fighters on a Tuesday night. I just wanted to do a one-on-one with you because what you've done in the sport is tremendous, and who you are is even, man, I can't even define it. You know, I got to tell you, I was shocked. You know, truly, a lot of parts of the inner workings speak so highly of you that it kind of left me stymied going into this interview, because I've never had that happen before. So many great men talk about this young warrior, you know, and I already looked at your abilities and what you're capable of. You know, what does life mean for Moses Murrieta away from the sport? What do you like to do that helps define you, not just as, you know, as a man, but as a giving person in life, because you truly have a giving heart? Are you there, bro? We kind of lost him. Let's see if we can get him back. That didn't work out good. Well, he's in New York, so.
Hello.
Yeah, I'm not sure what happened there, bro.
Yeah, I don't either.
We got you back. We're not going to keep you too much longer. I'll rephrase the question. You know, it made me feel good to hear you say you got money in your pocket, and, you know, you're going to make sure everybody has a nice Christmas. You know, that's truly tremendous, you know. But who is it and what is it that instilled that will to give back in you, Moses? Who is the intent that showed you how to share with others and let them enjoy in the aspect of who you are?
Again, I'm going to have to give that one up to my mom. We grew up in poverty, really, really poor. We didn't have a car. I didn't grow up with a. I grew up without a father, and my mom had it really hard. But she kept us out of trouble as much as she could. She taught us what she could. She raised us as best she could. I think she did a great job. We were poor, and she'd cook meals for homeless people. I remember outside of our apartments, and she would see them walking back into the apartments, just, you know, sitting outside the apartments. And she'd come back with a hot plate of food for them, and they'd be, you know, happy. And I would see that. So that played a big part. She'd help out all kinds of people and with barely anything. And she'd always give food to all my friends in the apartments, and she'd feed everyone. And I'd see how happy it would make her. And it was a beautiful thing. And I'd have to give that up to my mom. I learned that from her, I guess.
Man, that's tremendous. She didn't have nothing, but she gave what she did have to others who have it worse. That's tremendous. That'd be my role model too. That kind of reminds me of Jamal Fogues, another fighter. Man, your mom is tremendous, bro. You know, not only did she teach you tremendous value, she created a tremendous young man in your walk. You know, brother, the sport is wide open to you. You've got everything you need. You know, we a lot of us come from poverty, and a lot of people use it for excuses. You used it to motivate you. And now you're at a place in the sport where you can give back to not just your family but to life in general, and you're truly doing that. You know, if you had to make a statement to your fans about what they can expect from Moses Marietta come in the next couple months, what would that statement be, my friend?
You could expect to watch a good show if I'm in the cage.
We know something's coming up in a couple months. We know you can't talk about it. But, you know, I'm telling you, people, if you're listening tonight, you got to go check out his fights. You truly... You'll be dumbfounded. This young man is crazy. You know, it's listening to you on the phone, you know, interviewing you, you're so humble. What does, and I know this is a Wikipedia or Tapology question, but I got to know, because you truly are a humble kid. What does flick that switch? I mean, I know the cage door closes, but you go from who you are now, this honest, great kid with integrity and honor. The cage door closes, and you transform into this young beast of a warrior. What allows you to do so?
Humble till we rumble. I mean, all day long, you know, it's the battlefield. So, and I'm a warrior, I'm a soldier. So that's just what I do. And, but that's there, you know, outside of the cage, that's human level shit. So it's, you know, that's when you have to think before you speak. And but once the cage door opens, then, you know, that's our job. That's what we're there to do. So pretty much.
I like that, man. Because, you know, a lot of people got mad at me one time. I had Liam McGeary and Linton Vassell on the same show, and they're like, what the hell are you doing, bro? They're fighting each other. And we already know, because we're sponsored by the same people. Well, me and Linton Vassell are. We're sponsored by the 86ers. And Liam has been a friend of mine. I've been there since the beginning of his career. I've been interviewing him since the beginning of his career. And, you know, we were all like, you know, it's just work. Man, once that cage door closes, we're punching in our time cards. But you know, once the fight's over, we'll go have a beer and have dinner together. See a lot of people on social media,
exactly,
and different aspects. Yeah, they want to create drama where there doesn't truly need to be drama. You know, a lot of people, if they really knew the sport like it truly is, if they really seen what goes on behind the hype, I think they would have,
yeah,
a greater understanding of it. You know, and that's truly what I appreciate about you. You know, Moses, I'm going to ask you one more question, then I'm going to let you get, because I know you're on the East Coast and you're out about having a little bit of fun. You know, you look back at all of your accomplishments. You look back at the life you've come from. You look back at the friends that you've gained along the way. What does a sport and all the aspects that come with it truly mean to you, Moses?
It's just all a good experience. I mean, I just want to live a good life. I want to have a good experience. This time that I'm fighting, it won't be forever, and I just want to make it a good one. A lot of good things happen from fighting. Very little bad, and so far it's been a great experience. And I just want the good times to keep on rolling.
I agree with you. You know, brother, it was truly an honor to have the Motown man on the show tonight. And, you know, I really like the caller calling in because you gave a very articulate answer about the drive and the motivation behind who you are. Man, you're a true warrior and a competitor, and even more, a tremendous young man in your walk. It was an honor for me to have you on the show tonight, brother. I'm going to toss the mic to you. If you have any sponsors, friends or family, or any social media sites, or just anything else you'd like to add to the program, the floor is yours.
Just wanted to say thank you, Don. It was an honor being on the show. I had a lot of fun. Good experience. To my sponsors, I want to give a shout-out to TNT Management, Dave Thomas, Bite Me Mouthpiece, Joe Rice, Ruka Sport, UFC Gym Costa Mesa. Also want to give a shout out to OC Farms and Turp House. I also want to give a shout out to Victorious Red, another sponsor that takes care of me. All or Nothing Clothing. Give a shout out to him too. He does a lot for me. And everyone that that supports me and they have my back. I want to say thank you to everybody, to my teammates, to my coaches. And yeah, that's it.
Yeah, most definitely. I want to give a shout out to your mother for showing you the proper path in life. And
yeah,
young man, I'm proud of you. You truly have gained
my respect
and the sport's respect. You know, what you're doing is defining a new path for you and creating a new path for fighters that can follow in your footsteps. And that's truly humbling. Thank you so much, Moses, for coming on my
show
tonight.
Thank you, Don.
You have a good night.
Pleasure.
Merry Christmas.
You too, bud.
All right.
Merry Christmas. Bye.
God bless. Man, you know, I'm not usually humbled by young fighters, but, you know, he a little green on the radio still, but you got his intent. And the intent is that of a great young man in the making and a great warrior in the making. You know, you look at his career, and if you don't believe me, just go look up Moses Marietta on Tapology. The man has never fought an opponent with a lesser record than him. And his last fight, the opponent had almost three times as many fights as him. So, I mean, you look at that combined, and the kid's on a tremendous path of terror. He's creating greatness in the sport, not just for himself, but for TNT Management, for Bite Me Mouth Guards, for other fighters to look up and realize that they can make a difference for themselves in this sport. You know, that's why I do this show, because I want to give young fighters an opportunity to come on here and share who they are. And I truly appreciate the caller calling in and asking that question, because it truly defined a different aspect on the path in this show and this interview. With that being said, since mothers mean so much, before I get to that, though, I got to thank my sponsors. Finished MMA with Juan Martinez, the 86ers.net with Alfred and Freddie, and Cut Man for Hire with Jacob Stitcheran and Juan Ramirez, and last but not least, Bite Me Mouth Guards with Joe Rice. On that note, have a good night, and God bless.
You all appreciate it. When I was young, me and my mama had beef, 17 years old, kicked out on the street. Though back at the time, I never thought I'd see a face. Ain't a woman alive that could take my mama's place. Suspended from school, scared to go home. I was a fool with the big boys breaking all the rules. Shed tears with my baby sister.